And I say, if circularity is a different way of how to do business, we need to talk in this language. So we should not be afraid to put indeed a money value to what we're doing that can be reduced costs. It can be increased sales, you name it, but it has to have a price tag. And that's what you need to communicate.
My name is Patrick Hübscher, and this is Circularity FM, the podcast about understanding, building, and managing circular business models.
Welcome to the key talks of Circulase Summit 2024. Circulase is a leading circular economy network driving innovation and collaboration across industries. Before we start, I have two offers for you. If you would like an actionable one-pager of the following presentation, please sign up for the newsletter at www.circularity.fm. And if you're looking for a service provider or partner in the circular economy field, please reach out to me and maybe I can recommend someone.
First person on stage is going to be Ms. Nina Fechtler. Ms. Nina Fechtler works at Evonik, one of the world's leading specialty chemical companies, where she's the director of the company's Global Circular Economy Program. Within the program, Evonik drives circular economy business development for the group. Please give Nina a warm round of applause.
Thank you very much for having me. As you said, it's going to be quick, so I want to try to be quick. I don't want to talk today about Evonik, the company I'm working for. I want to share with you rather some, let's say, experiences from the last couple of years that I was trying to implement circularity in the business. From the viewpoint of a specialty chemicals company, what is this? Difficult to explain, but let's say we're a B2B company. You won't find our products on the shelf as such, but we're basically in everything that kind of surrounds you. Always with a small percentage, but we basically give products the properties, which means what I'm going to show you now is not just one single market or value chain. It's, let's say, a cross-section across every kind of market you can think of. So circularity, what is it? I want to pick three hypotheses I brought today that I want to dive in with you. Number one, it's a different way of doing business. As I said, and we heard it before, it's not just a nice to have. It's not something that happens in a separate department or so. It should be something that is really integrated into everyday business. Second, it's about value chain collaboration. And we will see it's very difficult, but let's say you need to look beyond your suppliers or customers to really make the most out of the value creation in circularity. And third, it's about yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And it means it's about to start now. In the end, it's a mindset that I would say we should start off before we touch anything else, because there's where it starts. Okay, let's dive into it. So I had to laugh a lot when I saw the toolbox, because that's actually what I brought. So what is circularity doing in a business? And I see sometimes a bit of misconception when we talk about circularity, because everybody have a bit different viewpoint. And I wanted to explain it in also the way of a toolbox. If circularity is a toolbox, then everything that we can do, like recycling, design for circularity, increasing durability, is a tool. And each tool will fit a certain purpose. So if we talk about end-of-life issues, of course, we will be in the recycling area. But it's so much more than what we think of usually if we talk about circularity. And I want to translate this to a company. So this is rather, let's say, the corporates. Very big structures, very much in these boxes, as you can see here. And let's say if the circularity is the box, then we have the company, which is a collection of their departments. And if we talk about the tools, probably each tool has the best home in one of these departments. So if it is about raw materials, it's probably a purchasing department that is included. If it is about design, it would probably including product management, R&D, you name it. And that means they really need to know which one they're looking at, and they need to talk to each other. Sometimes they could go in the linear world maybe a bit more by their own, but now we need to have structures, organizational setups, targets that incentivize that these guys work together. And of course, it always depends a bit on the company setup. But let's say in Evonik case, we chose a very integrated way of doing it. So there's only a very small team that is coordinating, let's say, overarching. But we always work very closely with all of our business lines, no matter what we're doing, because it needs to be integrated. And in terms of incentivation, KPIs, we have a simple group target that is overarching. So everybody can contribute with their own solutions to that group sales target. Collaboration, I said it before, why do we need that? Very simply speaking, if we are going from this linear, simplified world to bend it into a cycle, we are breaking a lot of connections, we're creating a lot of new ones. And just to give you a bit of an insight from a corporate, we struggle a lot with answering a lot of questions at these moments. And it's not just within our own company, it's in all the companies along all the value chains. Sometimes you have 800 processing steps until something gets from raw materials to the final product. And if we touch this highly efficient processes over the last decades, of course, you create chaos. And this needs to be spoken out. So I call it 3T, talk, transparency, and trust. Go out, ask your questions, talk about it, because otherwise no one knows that you have these questions. Sometimes people think companies know perfectly what they're doing. And I would say that's not always the case. You need to do it together. And the other way is what happens outside, bring it in your company. So I guess you all know the question, why should we do this? What is it benefiting if we do circularity? And it will be about the money. So what's the business case? Usually a question. And I say, if circularity is a different way of how to do business, we need to talk in this language. So we should not be afraid to put indeed a money value to what we're doing that can be reduced costs. It can be increased sales. It can be more intangible things like reputation, rating, you name it, but it has to have a price tag. And that's what you need to communicate. In any other business case, you would do it the same way. Just sometimes here, we tend to speak more on a meta level to say this is a good thing we should do. And it's very fastly slides into this nice to have competing currently with the question of how do we reduce our cost, that it gets into the background and we should avoid this. Now you might ask, okay, how do we start this now? How do I put a price tag? Maybe not exactly now how we put this, but where could we start? So what are, let's say, from my perspective, three main drivers when it comes to circularity? Number one is legislation, especially Germany is very good in this. But this is a big driver. Second one, it's what are companies putting their own targets in. So you see a lot that people would say, our company will reach X percent of recycling content or recycling rate or you name it. This is also big drivers, as we saw, for example, before with the IKEA topic. And it's, of course, the end consumers that ask questions. Now, there's two issues with this. Number one, usually all these requirements are set to the companies that bring products on the market. So that is then, for example, for companies like ours that are a bit more upstream in the value chain, difficult to grab what does the requirement put to these companies mean for our business. Number two, somehow these targets seem very far in the future. In regulation, we always see 2030, 2040, 2050. Also, company targets go in this direction. And it kind of tends to make us think we have time to wait and see what others will do. And I would say, do we have the time to wait? 100% not. Because it's about understanding right now opportunities and also the risks that it brings when we start touching our value chains. What it means when we want to cash in the value circularity can generate. So it's about today to really get your own position of your company clear. What do you want to contribute? What are your products, your technologies, your knowledge? Do I need new business models? All these questions need to be answered because contracts are made today. And we all know that development and changing all these things takes time. So if something is due in 2030, I guess the best moment to start was a second ago. Final thought I want to leave you with. I would say it's not about who is responsible, but it's about our ability to have a responsibility to do something with the things we see in the future, especially at, let's say, historic days like today. Thank you very much.
He's love the responsibility one. I'm going to steal that from you, Nina. I hope you don't mind. Can I ask you a question?
Now it works. Perfect. Sure.
When we all go out of this room at the end of the day, we are going to have quite the tough job making sure that the naysayers in our circle get to learn exactly what we've learned today. And I sometimes find that one of the biggest challenges, especially in a corporate setting. How do you go about changing the mindset of the naysayers?
I would say it's important to understand who is your direct receiver and who is your amplifier. So I build, let's say, a network internally where you have very concrete persons, not a department, but a person that knows what we're doing. We know what they're doing. And we have a common understanding. So if I put something into this circle of, let's say, a handful of people, I know they know how to transport it further. So it's really about finding your amplifiers.
Mm, responsibility again.
Responsibility.
Thank you. Again, round of applause. Thank you.
This was one out of 8 episodes from Circulate Summit 2024 in Munich, Germany. If you want to get the actionable one-pager from this talk, sign up to the Circularity FM newsletter. You can find it at www.circularity.fm. If you're looking for a service provider or a partner in the circular economy, please reach out and maybe I can recommend someone. Let's drive a profitable circular economy. And please don't forget, the most abundant renewable resource is your imagination.
My name is Patrick Hübscher, and this is Circularity FM, the podcast about understanding, building, and managing circular business models.